Say. There it is. Hi, I'm Susie. I'm a compulsive overeater and very happy to be here to speak tonight. Yeah, I've been in OA for, well, I came in to stay in 1989. I live in Richmond, Virginia. I'll just dial it back a little bit. I'm from the Chicago suburbs, grew up there from a family that, was Jewish but had no religion going on and no spirituality going on, and in fact was anti all that. And I was pretty much brought up specifically to think that people who believed in God were weak and stupid, and I certainly did not want to be like that. So I didn't question it at all. That's how I came up. I've also just by nature kind of a goody-goody, a people pleaser, and a liar, because that's kind of what it took to maintain that people pleasing deal that I undertook. I wanted everybody to think that I was nice and low maintenance, and I wasn't really, but it took a lot of play acting to make it seem that way, and I was kind of good at it. So it really it's been a big part of my journey in OA to even learn how to be honest. But yeah, that's part of the important part of my journey. My dad was obese and he got type 2 diabetes when he was about 45, and then he got a lot of cardiovascular problems. Lung cancer got him first, but it really curtailed his life. And I also was just a little chubby as a kid, but by the time I got to college, I was really starting to have trouble with weight, and I had my gallbladder out when I was 16, and that was because of like holiday binges, binge at New Year's Eve, binge at Christmas, and that ended up with me getting my gallbladder out when I was 16. So I had warnings, and I was 27 when I came into OA. I came in 1979 in Philadelphia and just used it as a diet club for a few months. I had a sponsor, but I don't remember doing any steps. And I did not like hearing about God. So when I lost my 20 pounds, I went back out the door and pursued other remedies that didn't work for the next 10 years. And was fortunate, married a really nice guy, and had a pretty decent life going, but I could not solve the weight problem. I could not solve the eating problem. I had two little kids by the time I came in to stick, which was 10 years later, 1989, when I was 37. And by then I was quite demoralized by the disease. I really, really gave up, which is such a good way to come in, because I had had that extra 10 years of getting beaten up by food and going up and down the scale. And at 37, I was really pretty scared by the type 2 diabetes because I could see what was happening to my dad, and I did not want to go down that road. And I knew perfectly well that I was going down it. And I was so much like him in so many ways that it was real clear what was going to happen to me. So yeah, in 1989, I came in Connecticut, Southwest Connecticut. I was living in Stamford. I should mention I did once have a sales territory where my biggest customer was in New Brunswick, so I know your area a bit. But yeah, came in Stamford and just did what they told me to do. Went to six meetings to see if it was for me, and I knew it was for me. And just kind of let it wash over me. Looked for a sponsor pretty quick after that. Found someone who was sort of my age with young kids who had been in program for 10 years, and she got me started. At that point, we did the 30 questions for steps 1, 2, and 3, and I was very happy that there was more than a diet here, and happily did those questions, got abstinent right away. My sponsor lost her abstinence after some months, but I got another sponsor right away. But then after 9 months clean, I went on a vacation, stayed abstinent through the vacation, but on the way home, I think in the airport, I was feeling a little bit, my stomach upset. And I was in an airport lounge. There was a piece of fruit there. I ate the piece of fruit. Seems like it would be abstinent food, but it wasn't on my food plan for that day. And that kicked off what turned out to be a 9 month relapse, and not my last relapse, I'm sad to say. But I really didn't know what was happening to me. But I had a meeting in Greenwich, Connecticut on Friday nights, and there was somebody in there who had been thin when I first started coming, and then she was kind of fat, and I thought, oh, maybe she's in a relapse. Maybe she can tell me what's going on. And I called her and she said, yeah, I just came out of relapse. Do you want to go for coffee after the meeting? We can talk about it. And I said, sure. And we went for coffee and she said, yes, somebody kicked me out of relapse by saying, look, there's this whole program here. Why don't you just do the program? So I thought real hard about that. What more could I do? I was going to a couple meetings a week and I had a sponsor and I was doing, reading, writing, working steps and stuff. But I thought, well, maybe I could go to more meetings. So I started picking up some more meetings. And at one of them, I heard a speaker who had what turned out to be the magic formula for me, because this happened more than once. She was someone who had been abstinent, had been in relapse, and was again abstinent. And she just seemed to have a really strong program. She came from AA too. And I buzzed up to her after the meeting and asked if she would sponsor me. And she agreed to do that. And she was a wonderful sponsor with this deep knowledge of the steps from the big book and from her other program. But she started me on the steps and we got to step four, did step five, and then at some point I picked up, I relapsed, and she took me back to step one and started working through again, and I picked up again and went back. And this happened two or three more times. Finally, I was just embarrassed to tell her the truth. So I started lying. I started lying. I never really regained all my weight. I kind of played it off. I thought I could get away with it. But this started a really bad pattern for me of being in program, pretending to be abstinent, letting people celebrate anniversaries of abstinence for me, and just feeling like, a weasel, just not a good person. And I had this situation that I had this perfectly happy life, and I could not figure out how to be happy in it. I had all the stuff that people might want, and I had come from a loving family. I didn't have trauma, but I definitely had this disease. You don't have to have trauma to have this disease. You don't have to have, a tough family life to have this disease, because I really, really have it. So I moved to Spain in 94 with my family for 2 years and participated. They had OA in English in Madrid. I mean, it was amazing. And I did lots of service there, all kinds of stuff, and I was sponsoring everybody and blah blah blah, and still lying about abstinence. And when I got back to Connecticut in 96, I knew that I was never going to figure out how to get abstinent if I couldn't figure out how to get honest. So I picked a sponsor that was someone that I knew and trusted, not to beat me up. And I just told her the truth about my food every day for a year. And somehow by the end of that year, I was abstinent. But it also wasn't the end of relapse for me. I had more. Moved down to Richmond in 2002. And I think I was abstinent at that time. And I think I was abstinent for a good number of years after that. But in 2006, I had to go back to Chicago to take care of my mom, who was by then, well, she was very suddenly and unexpectedly diagnosed with lung cancer. I went to just take her to a doctor appointment. And when I arrived, her breathing sounded so bad. I said, should we be going to the ER right now? And she said, no. But when we went to the doctor the next day, thought we were going to get out of there with an antibiotic for bronchitis. But they said, let's just take a chest x-ray just in case. And boy, next thing she was in the ER, and the next thing after that, she was in the ICU with inoperable lung cancer. So I went home alone to her apartment very unexpectedly. And I pulled open every drawer and every cabinet and ate something out of every one. And that was the last relapse. It went on for about 6 weeks. At the end of 6 weeks, again, I was at a meeting here, heard a speaker who had been in relapse and was now in recovery again. And she I walked out of that meeting and I turned to a friend and I said, I need help. And she agreed to sponsor me temporarily. I had a sponsor, but my sponsor didn't have much time for me. And I resigned all my many service positions and I went away to a place that does, it's not like a real treatment center, but they did short-term stuff. They did like 5 day and 3 day programs. And I did a bunch of work with that outside place over the next several years. And all I can say is I got enough abstinence that it has stuck from then to now. So I guess I'm coming up on about 17 years. Kind of can't believe it. It's been great. Thanks, I see that. And I have, of course, during all of these years, figured out something about spirituality and higher power that works for me. It's not super well defined. I'm one of the people who had to keep redefining and redefining my higher power bigger and bigger and bigger, because I'd come to a place and I'm like, well, higher power can't solve this thing. Oh, well, then that means I just need to get a more powerful higher power. I just need to have a higher power that, let's say, has time to solve world peace and take care of my lunch. Both of those things, big enough for all of that stuff. Over time, probably my higher power is less defined than it used to be. Now, I've done a lot of work in recent years. I lived in San Diego too for about 3 years from 2012 to 2015, and there was introduced to a really intensive big book study. And I had been reading big book from the very beginning, from 1989, but still I had not a clue. I didn't really even know that the recovery program was in the first 164 pages. Nobody ever mentioned that. Anyway, the work with that particular program has really revolutionized things for me, and I see things more clearly than I used to. I see that my problem, oh, I was such a resentment factory. I was really taught to go ahead, and I was taught that I knew, we knew, my family knew what everybody was supposed to be doing, and they always weren't doing it. So that entitled us to judge them and conceive resentments against them for not doing what they were supposed to be doing. So I've had to understand that it's important for me to get out of the director's chair, stop being in charge, let God be in charge. Try and really ask all through the day what God wants me to do next. And I laugh and say it works for the big stuff, but it also works for, should I go to Target first or CVS? Because if my mind is spinning on something like that, really, I can just turn it over and I don't have to be in charge of it. It's much, much better for me if I'm not in charge of stuff. I've been at places where anybody's will for me is better than my will for me. I do work all the tools. I do service. I have a food plan. I know there's a lot of people now that recover like just on the steps, but I'm a pretty old school compulsive eater. And if I give up certain foods, my life gets much easier. If I weigh and measure, because volume is really my number one problem. If I weigh and measure most of the time, my life gets easier. And now I believe it's my job to fit myself to be of maximum service to God and other people. And I do that by taking people through the steps. And I can just say that it's working for me. I'm 70, just turned 70, and I'm in good health. And I've been married for coming up on 42 years, and I have two nice kids that I have good relationships with, and I have friends. And I'll just add that my sister died this summer, very, very unexpectedly, of this disease, I think. She got type 2 diabetes too, and she got heart disease as a result of type 2 diabetes too. And it was just another example to me of where I would be if it weren't for this program. I have no doubts about that. I understand that I could be wrong, but deep inside, I have no doubts that this program has saved my life, is saving my life, and that all the good stuff in my life I really owe to this program. So, really a pleasure to be here, and thanks for asking me to speak, and just really enjoy being with you guys tonight. Thanks.